Sadly, many people today go through life feeling lonely and disengaged from those around them, not really connecting with anyone or anything in any meaningful way. My sermonette today is feeling disconnected. The prevalence of detachment is so widespread that many are calling our modern era the age of disconnection. We see it all the time. We see it in the malls, we see it in the shopping centers, we see it in the restaurants. Yeah, I saw it coming up here. I was in the middle lane, and there was a gentleman on a Suburban, and he had his turn signal, left turn signal on, and I was waiting for him to, I thought he was going to go to the center lane, and he never did. So I kept on going, and I saw that he had his phone like that. And he was with his thumb, so he was texting something. And he was right behind a truck that was hauling some tires, a flatbed. And he was a half car length away from it and creeping ever so close. So that when I passed him, he was getting closer and closer. And I said, I guess he woke up or did something before he finally saw it. But he was disconnected, even have disconnected from driving. Can we say that was disconnecting from driving? And we have all this people that are totally disengaged of what they're doing and on a reality. And sometimes we even disconnected with our friends and some people are even disconnected with parents. The nursing homes, are lots of people aching to see their grandchildren or their children. The idea now is just throw mom and dad in the nursing home and let's forget about it because we're just too busy. How about homeowners? A lot of homeowners don't even know their neighbors' names. They don't even know who moved in. And then that's why you see, a moving van come in and say, oh, they're moving. So no, it wasn't. There's some thieves cleaning them out. So according to Jacqueline Oles, MD, Associate Professor of Psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, co-author of The Lonely American, was quoted saying, today with so many demands on our time, so many distractions, and all the digital technology, we have more opportunities than ever to become disengaged. We often live our lives on autopilot, putting all our time and energy into things that don't matter that much in the long run, and severing our connections with the things that really do matter. Have you ever been found yourself when you're going to work, especially those of us that do the same thing every morning, when you're getting your kids to school and you wake up at the same time, just like clockwork, boom, boom, and you find yourself in the kitchen and you say, how did I get here? And well, I've even found myself in the parking lot, and I said, how did I get here? Because your mind, you get to a certain stoplight, and you're on time because a certain car comes by, and you turn around, and in my case, if there were caller times, was unloading at the Circle K, and I said, I knew I'm going at 6 o'clock, so I'm going, all that is timed. And sometimes you just go through, you just go on autopilot, you're disconnected. But we can't be disconnected from each other, brother. We can't be disconnected from people. And lots of times it's very tempting to be disconnected from this world I don't have to explain myself very much, but what direction this world is going to. And some things that didn't make sense at all 10 years ago, governments are doing it, But we can't, that's part of we're the lights of this world, People should be looking at us. Remember, we can't place a lamp under a basket. The ideology behind was, we're not part of this world, we're supposed to get away. Well, yeah, that's true. And we can simply do that by attending Sabbaths and our behavior towards our fellow man, what we eat, that's part of our, or the whole ideology of that. But we interact with our neighbors, we interact with other people to show our light, to display. I'm going to give you three pillars, or as psychologists call it, three pillars of connection, which is important for our physical, mental, and spiritual health. Number one is connection with other people. Loneliness can be a matter of feeling excluded or abandoned by others, or it can be something we inadvertently impose on ourselves because of our lifestyle choices. I want to know no part of so-and-so, or and I don't want to be part of that. I don't, and sure enough, you know, you find yourself by yourself. There was a director's at work that was very stringent person, and she was not a people person, but she was by herself. And unfortunately, she didn't report to work for a week. They looked for her, and they finally gave access to her condo, and that's where she was. She was passed away, and nobody even knew it. That's sad, but that happens more than often. Because we choose that way. We're not loners, so to speak. The Sabbath was built for that. The Sabbath was built for us to have an assembly. It says, don't forsake our assembly. Social isolation is increasingly globally, particularly in the Western nations. In the United States, nearly half adults are sometimes or always lonely. And this is according to a study that was done by the insurer, Cigna. They did an study on that back in 2018. Now I bet you it's more now than ever with all this technical knowledge. Let's go to Genesis 2:18, brethren. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18. God did not intend us to be alone. He wanted us to interact. Well, you know what? So-and-so, I don't really like the way he smiles. Or I don't like the way he talks. Well, that's, you know, you're no basket of intelligence either. So everybody has imperfections. Everybody. That's 18 says, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. He just said it. He said, he's stating for Eve, and before he created Eve, right? But it's all intended for us because we are a family, right? That's what God's trying to establish here. He wants a relationship with us for his family. Pillar number two, it says, contact with God's creation. Now, that's an easy one for me because I've been an outdoors person. And I was very fortunate to be in interact with the in ranching and outdoors when I was growing up. And there's nothing better by sticking your hand in the soil and massaging it. It feels real good. And matter of fact, there's a psychologist in New York that has a garden in the back, and he has his patients put their hands in the soil and massage it for therapy. So it gives us that root because we do come from dirt, don't we? Access to nature is fundamental to human health, well-being, spirit, and survival, according to this one psychologist, Richard Lowe, in his book, Nature Principle. Countless studies have been conducted in recent years documenting the therapeutic benefits of nature. Everything from controlling and relieving emotional pain and stress to lowering blood pressure, improving mental focus, and reducing the risk of cardiovascular disease. We have a beautiful beach here, and lots of times, oh, it's too crowded. Well, my family and I, we used to go right at 5:30 from our house, go towards the beach, and that's when you can see everybody coming the other direction. And we can catch the last 2 hours and there's little to no people there. And the sun isn't that bad either. So you can have those quiet times and the interconnect. I get a kick just watching my bees collect pollen from the wildflowers. Right now, in front of my house, there's the whole, it's like a meadow. It's full of wildflowers. Let's go to Psalms 8, chapter 8, and verses 3 to 4. Talking about God. It says, verse 3, it says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers," this is David, "the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man?" You know, what is he that thou art mindful of him? David's trying to figure out, well, what do you see in us? "And the son of man that you visited him." This all brings things back into perspective. Knowing what God can create brings you at ease. You can say, just look at a leaf and say, God created this. I know it seems kind of trivial, but sometimes we've got to bring ourselves down to basics. Pillar number 3, and the last but not least, is relationship with God. Which we have. I'm going to say that we have that relationship with God that brings ourselves at ease. That should bring pillar number 2 and 1 right in. Today, 1/4, 25% of Americans claim no formal religious identity, making that group the single largest, quote unquote, they even bring that as a religious group in the U.S. This is according to a study done back in 2020 from the Public Religion Research Institute study. Compare that to only 6% back in 1991. People, for the most part, have lost their fear of God. And we can all kind of agree with that. They have turned their back on God and the Bible. Too many people feel empty at the core, with no real sense of purpose to their lives and nothing meaningful to connect it to. They wonder why. I just went and said, had a retirement for a friend of mine, and they said, "What did I do this for?" And that in itself tells you. There's two big culprits, though. Two big culprits, and it's the ones we're very familiar with: overbusy and being over connected to that little phone that overstimulates our brain. And scientists have already proven that, but they won't make that. It overstimulates our brain. Let's go to Galatians, and it kind of brings that whole thing, what we're chasing. We're like a greyhound chasing this fake rabbit. You seen those greyhound races, and those dogs are chasing this fake rabbit. You know, I wonder if they ever catch them. They say, "What? A fake rabbit?" And that's what we feel like. I felt like lots of times at work. I said, "Man, I'm going to get it back on my hamster wheel." You ever been to see those little hamsters that just go around? They're not going anywhere, but they're just. That's what I felt at going to work. That's what I felt like sometimes. Verse 19, it says, "The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality." Verse 20, "Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions." Verse 21, "Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 22, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." Verse 23, "Gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now, it's pretty evident this Paul is writing, he's not writing to anybody. He's not writing to Gentiles. He's writing to his church, the so-called people of faith. He has to warn them about all this. That means they've been you know, they've been caught doing it or been straying afterwards. Now, he said, as I warned you, and as I warned you before. So this ain't the first time he's warned them. He said, hey, guys, wake up. So a lot of people have that mentality, and maybe they had that mentality back then. You know, once saved, always saved. I don't know. As ourselves, we should always be on guard and always reach out and touch each other. As far as we've got a phone, you know, what's so-and-so doing? Text us, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of, in our family members, you've heard family members, they get angry with each other and for the littlest things, and they don't, well, I haven't talked to so-and-so in 20 years. Oh, my gosh. So they don't talk to each other. Well, after on their deathbed or something, they say, oh, yeah, well, they got together. Oh, jeez. Sometimes it's better to get along than to be right. You know, so what, you know, okay, you were right, big deal. Let's get along. It's better to get along than to be right. Brethren, let's maintain our connection and with our loved ones and with ourselves. Fear God and keep His commandments.